In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My difference in Christ on the Feast of the Ascension, which we just celebrated this past Thursday, the Paschal candle, we know, was extinguished after the reading of the Gospel. This was a sign to us that Jesus Christ has ascended into heaven, ascended to his Father, and is no longer now seen on earth with the eyes of the body. How then can we know him? Since even among those who saw him, there were many who did not know him. They have not known me nor the Father. Jesus said, speaking of those who would kill his disciples, thinking that by doing so, they were doing a service to God, offering worship to God. Now we know knowledge of Jesus Christ has to be based on more than just sight. Such knowledge comes, as we know, with faith. Faith which we receive along with the other theological virtues in baptism. But this faith is only an incipient faith. It's only a beginning. And like that grain of mustard seed, it has to be watered, it has to be nourished until it attains full growth. This, in fact, is the work of the Holy Ghost, the Advocate, whom Jesus promised to send us from the Father. He reveals Jesus to us through baptism and the other sacraments, through prayer and the reading of Holy Scripture, and through the diligent practice of the Christian life. We grow in the knowledge and love of Jesus Christ our Lord, and gradually we become conformed to his likeness. Now, the work of the Holy Ghost in our souls sometimes happens in surprising ways. Mary at prayer in her home at Nazareth is visited by the Archangel Gabriel, who announces to her that she is to become the mother of our Savior Jesus Christ through the overshadowing of the Holy Ghost. St. Paul, on his way to Damascus, is struck down by a blinding light, out of which Jesus himself speaks to him. St. Francis of Assisi on Mount Alverno receives the marks of the five wounds of our blessed Lord. St. Teresa of Avila, as she passes a picture of Christ in his agony, she sees it come alive for her, and it changes her life. Now, in our own lives, there are moments of grace, inspirations from the Holy Ghost, though seldom so dramatic. For these, we have to be grateful, since they build up our faith. Most of the time, however, it's a matter of patience, a matter of hard work, perseverance, and cooperation. Now, this concept of cooperation is, as we know, important in any endeavor, in any society, be it marriage, a family, the church, or even on a smaller level here in our own oratory. We must all strive to do our best to work together for the same goal, which is the common good and ultimately our own sanctification. Well, it's no less for us personally in our relationship with God himself. In it, we seek to know and to love him more and more each day. But we always have to remember God's work in us, his work. Through the cooperation of the Holy Ghost relies just as much on our cooperation than the effect of God's efficacious power. Sure, God could force holiness on us through a one-time miracle. And sure, that would be nice perhaps, but we know that God doesn't force us to do anything. We have a free will, and he respects that free will. That's how he works. So it's good for us to consider how well we cooperate with that work. we can be indifferent to or even resist the graces which God offers us, his actual grace or the grace of the sacraments. Without proper preparation, putting ourselves, so to speak, in the right frame of mind, the graces of the sacraments are often not as fruitful as they should be or as they could be. For example, if we come to Mass and receive Holy Communion just because everyone else is doing it, perhaps without having gone to confession, and fail to focus on the fact that in Holy Communion we are being united to Almighty God in a supreme act of love, we're going to miss out on many of the graces that would be otherwise available to us. That's why it's a good idea to be early for Mass, to be able to spend some time in meditation and prayer on what's about to take place, and to recall our part in it, and to remain until Mass is over, with the exception, as we know, of an emergency or some extreme necessity. We don't leave Mass before the priest goes back to the sacristy, and not after having made a good thanksgiving. Not only is it rude and inconsiderate to do so, but it shows a real lack of love of our Lord. Unfortunately, if we have in the past received Holy Communion without paying too much attention, there isn't much we can do except for trying to see that we're better prepared in the future. Our Lord is with us. We have to consider this. Our Lord is with us only for a few minutes until the appearances of bread and wine are so changed as to be unrecognizable. So shouldn't we be taking the utmost advantage of that time with him? And we all know as well from our catechism that there are three sacraments of a more permanent character: baptism, confirmation, and orders, holy orders, priesthood. Indeed, once we've received any of these sacraments, we're marked for eternity with a special character, an imprint on our souls. That imprint never goes away, neither in this life nor in the next. So if we've been baptized, it's always possible to cooperate with those graces, the graces of that sacrament, to be more and more a child of God. If we've been confirmed, it's always possible to call down the graces of our confirmation to make us more and more soldiers of Christ. Priests can call on the graces they received from the sacrament of orders to be more and more an alter Christus, another Christ. And nothing is required beyond being in a state of grace, sacramental confession, if we've committed a grievous sin, and calling on God to renew and restore the fervor that we should have had in receiving each of those sacraments, and the fervor that we should always continue to have from day to day. We have to remember that we're children of God, having been born again of water and the Holy Ghost, as our Lord says in the Gospel. Those who have been confirmed, have been signed with the sign of the cross and confirmed with the chrism of salvation, and have become soldiers of Christ, we may never be called upon to die for Christ as the apostles did. We may never even have to be boiled in oil like St. John, whose feast we celebrated last Monday. But we all have a strict duty, and we have to be mindful of this duty to live as children of God and not children of the devil. As soldiers of Christ, we have the duty to know our faith to the best of our ability and to live our lives in accordance with that faith. We may not have to preach to the multitudes or risk crucifixion, but we must preach, at least by the good example of our lives, lived according to Christian principles. We must know our faith, be proud of it, and be ever ready to profess it. Now, in order to do this, we ought to follow the example of the apostles, of steadfast prayer, together with Mary, the mother of Jesus. A few of us, we know, have the luxury of a 5 or 10 day retreat every year, but most of us can spend at least a little time with our Lord in prayer, morning and evening, and most of all, here at church before our Blessed Lord and the Blessed Sacrament. The Blessed Virgin Mary is the spouse of the Holy Ghost. Together, they conceived the Son of God. By cooperating with them, we can be children of God and soldiers of Christ indeed. We can even be, in a sense, another Christ or another bride of Christ, cooperating with the grace of God in steadfast prayer with Mary, the mother of Jesus. And the only thing required is to pray, is to offer ourselves in union with God and strive to maintain that union with God. In doing so, we can faithfully put into place in our lives the beautiful words of today's collect. Make us, we beseech thee, Almighty and Eternal God, ever bear a devout affection toward thee, and with a sincere heart serve thy majesty. It's interesting that the Lazanne's Missal, many of you have a Lazanne's Missal, translates the word voluntatem as affection. And the St. Andrew Daily Missal, for those who have a St. Andrew Daily Missal, translates it more literally as will, voluntas. I think the word affection is a better translation and a better grasp, better feeling of the Latin word, voluntas. In that, love or affection resides in the will, not in the intellect. Sure, we have to think to love, but love is in the will and is ultimately an active will. May it be so for us, ever to renew that affection with heart and mind and ever grow in the love of our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.